Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, this is your warning if you are of a sensitive nature, if you are a child, if you are my dad, switch over now because...
Warning, the following item is not recommended for little ears.
Because it's time for a dose of sex therapy with Rachel Cook.
And this week we have questions that came in from our listeners they're full on. Rachel Cook's on the line. Hi Rachel, how's it going?
Oh, I'm great, and I love these. I love the questions. We get so many,
and they're
so varied.
Yes, so varied. Let's kick off because we've a lot to get through. It says, "Hiya, Jen. Gareth here, not my real name. I have a tricky situation. I've recently got into a relationship with a girl. Everything in the bedroom department was going great until one night she went down on me and freaked out because of how bright ginger I was down there. Don't get me wrong, it's not a farce. I keep myself trimmed but not fully shaved. This really knocked my confidence. I've shaved down there before but I don't like the feel of it. I prefer to just have it trimmed nice and neat. Any advice?"
Oh, this one's pretty straightforward. I really feel for this person. Like, it is absolutely wild that there is still a stigma about being ginger. It's just the colour of your hair, for Christ's sake. You know, it's like if someone is going to be judgmental of the natural color of your hair or the color of your the hair that you choose it to be, then that is absolutely 100% their problem. And you need to, you know, you don't need to be with that person.
Hang
or
on
at
a
least
second.
Have a conversation with them about it. You know, it's like, why would someone be freaking out about the color of your hair?
You just said color you decided to be. Are you telling me people would dye? Use a color, a dye down there?
Lots of people do. This is very common, especially as people get older and their pubes go grey. Some people will use dye then because it makes them feel sort of younger or better. They just like how it looks or whatever. And then some people also dye their pubes for fun, which, you know, might seem a bit mad to some people, but other people love it.
Cormac Battle just walked into the studio when you talk about dyeing your grey pubic hair. I don't know if that is saying something or if he wants to know products or I don't know. Cormac, oh, you're just dropping coffee. Okay. Sex toy addiction. Let's talk about this. Someone said, "Can using vibrators make you unable to orgasm during sex or even masturbation without toys?" My friend said it's not possible, but I'm definitely finding it harder to climax since I've been using things like magic wands more regularly. Could it cause permanent damage? What should I do?
Oh, so there's no clinical evidence that using vibrators leads to lessened sensitivity or any kind of physical addiction. However, it is normal to become used to one kind of sensation. So we had this, there's a thing called dead vagina syndrome, which was getting tossed around the internet to describe sort of vibrator-induced nether region numbness a few years ago. And this is totally non-medical, fear-mongering term invented by people who don't really understand, you know, sort of female masturbation, orgasms, pleasure, or vaginal and vulvar anatomy. And I think this is very much to do with how society feels and teaches women to feel uncomfortable with the idea of women experiencing pleasure. And so, yeah, there's this idea that vibrators can ruin you for partnered sex and that you'll be unable to orgasm any other way. Now, that's not what this person here is saying, but what they are saying is, you know, that there can be for sure a sort of temporary numbness that can happen. Very temporary, you know, it might only last a few minutes, a few hours, maximum a day, which is very normal, but that is not going to damage you over time. And also, if you're only using a very certain kind of vibrator, it's very possible that you're simply just getting very used to that kind of sensation. You might just want to switch it up in terms of the types of vibrators and toys that you use, and also be using sort of hands, mouths, whatever else you want to use as well, so that your body is used to different kinds of sensations.
Okay. Hi, Jen and Rachel. I hope you can help me. I'm a fairly happy person in a long-term relationship, 15 years with an amazing woman, but I really fancy one of my co-workers, and it's starting to become uncomfortable because I'm fantasizing about them during sex and I feel infatuated with them when I see them. An extra complication is that they're a man. Does this make me bisexual, and how can I stop obsessing about them? Or even more frightening, an idea is, how can I know whether I should leave my partner to explore this massive crush? I don't think that's right, but maybe the relationship has run its course. Help. Oh, I feel so bad for this person. There's a lot going on.
There is. There's a good number of different things there. So I would say, number one, it's absolutely normal to fancy other people when you're in a relationship. The issue here seems at least partly to be the judgment that this person has about themselves and what this means, their kind of interpretations of the crush. Because also, you know, just because you're fantasizing about someone, it doesn't need to mean anything about your sexuality. You know, you can be straight and fantasize about someone of, you know, a different gender, and you can be gay and fantasize about someone of a different, you know, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't inherently mean that your fantasies make a difference to your actual sexuality. However, this person has shared that they're sort of infatuated with this person when they see them at work. And so I would say, enjoy the crush. It's really normal to have crushes and to feel infatuated with someone. Maybe don't put yourself in situations where you're like alone with them and going to be more likely to potentially, you know, cheat if you're in a monogamous relationship with your partner. You know, also, it's a bit mixed up there that they've said that they're happy, which would imply that there's not really any need to explore this. You know, you're not obliged to follow every interest or desire that you have, but that they've also said that they're afraid that their relationship has run its course. Now, that might simply be because they have a judgment that if they fancy someone else, that must mean there's something wrong in their relationship, or it might mean that there are actually more issues in their relationship than they have shared. So really, it might be a good idea to just reflect on that. What does a relationship running its course mean to you? And this absolutely could be helpful to discuss with a therapist, because there just might be more in there and that you don't really feel comfortable chatting about, maybe with all of it, with your partner themselves, or even with your maybe friends. So that's a good one to go to a therapist about, because there's a lot in there relating to sexuality and also your long-term relationship and your sense of self. So that's a good one.
Well done. Someone says, I was assigned male at birth, but never felt right about my gender. In my 20s, I came out as non-binary, which helped quite a bit. But now I'm realizing that I think I was just too scared to admit to myself and my friends and my family that I'm a trans woman. I'm afraid people will think I'm doing it for attention or that I'm just going through phases. Do you think I should keep it to myself?
Oh, I really feel for this person. This is actually a very common experience of being trans, starting off using a non-binary label while still exploring gender and sort of coming into yourself and getting to know yourself better, but not maybe yet having enough support or language or potentially awareness yet, simply not feeling ready to come out, you know, as a trans person. It may also be that this person has a different gender identity to either being cisgendered or trans. You know, it might be that being genderqueer might be a more fitting and comfortable label. Also, they also don't need a label. I would say it's a complex situation, because often friends and family and people you're dating will ask and want to know, but that, you know, it's also fine to say that you're in a place of not being sure or not feeling comfortable about talking about it yet. I would also say, you know, you cannot control what other people think, which can be really painful, but can also be a relief to remind yourself that your gender is not about what others believe it is or judge you to be. And it's a very common way of dismissing people through fear or ignorance to say that they're going through a phase. And so just, you know, sort of that can be, again, very painful to know that people might or do think that about you, but that doesn't actually change your gender. And it's totally up to this person whether they share this, how they do it, when and to whom. So I would say, you know, get as much support and information and people around you who you can trust so that you can feel more comfortable about exploring this and coming into yourself and deciding what you want to do about sharing that.
I've been with my partner for a few years and we have really different sex drives, this texter says. He wants to have sex every day, if not twice a day. I'm happy with once a week, I think. It's a touchy subject because I've told him that my sex drive is lower than his, and he said he doesn't want to have sex with me unless I really want to. But he gets insecure and clingy, sometimes even sulks if I don't have sex with him most days, which isn't worth the hassle. What can I do?
This is a tricky one because, you know, it can and does happen between people of any gender, but I find still mostly tends to be women experiencing lower sex drives in long-term relationships with men. And there's lots of strands to this, as we've talked about before, Jen, many times. I find that women's sex drives are actually very similar to men's. In fact, they can be quite a lot higher in certain circumstances. But men have been conditioned by society to believe that their masculinity is tied to having a high sex drive. And also, men rarely experience affectionate, sensual and intimate touch outside of sex, whereas women are often much more tactile with their friends and families. And they also, you know, tend to do things like get massages and get their hair and nails done. So there's just a lot more physical touch. And then you have the fact that women are also often touched out and utterly exhausted when they have children, which can add to the sense of differing sex drives. And it's very challenging when a partner of any gender reacts badly to not getting more sex. And that can create this vicious circle of withdrawal and hurt feelings and sense of pressure. And that being a real turn off. And yeah, I really, you know, I don't like the sound of someone, you know, kind of basically what this person is saying is that they have sex with their partner because they can't be bothered to deal with the fallout of it, which is that he sulks. So yeah, I would say talking about this very regularly, talk about the best time of day to have sex, that, you know, it might be to do with times of the month. If it's related to someone's menstrual cycle, their libido can be very tied to that. Also talking about different ways of having sex and masturbating more, both solo, you know, and together, like the person with the higher sex drive, ideally they would, you know, masturbate more, and, you know, that there might be different ways of having, of engaging sexually. If you find that it usually ends up being penetrative sex and that ends up being quite tiresome, or just exhausting or whatever, that there might be other ways of having sex that feel more, you know, enjoyable and less pressure. And yeah, that could work a lot better.
Hi there. Someone says, I have an embarrassing one. Hope you can give me some advice. I'm a straight woman, and whenever my partner comes inside me, I get quite itchy afterwards and sometimes get thrush. I even got BV last month, which was horrendous. Could this be because he has an STI, or is there something wrong with his jizz? Or could it be something wrong with me? Where do I go from here? Thanks so much. I would say go to your GP.
I'm so glad this one has been asked. People are mortified about this, and it's actually really common. You know, many people are familiar with, people with vaginas are familiar with this terrible feeling, that telltale prickle sort of percolating in your business. You just immediately know is going to blossom into a full blown yeast infection. And that can be absolute hell. And that, you know, especially when it happens around sex, it can leave people really frustrated, because obviously sex and orgasms can be, you know, these really great healthy things that many of us want to have regularly, and nothing kills the mood like itchy yeast, or in this case, the person has said BV, which is bacterial vaginosis, which often has a very, very strong fishy odor, which can just be so, so unpleasant. It is possible that the partner has an STI. However, it sounds like it's probably more likely here that this is to do with their ejaculate or semen upsetting the pH of the vagina. Or it could also be lube. You know, it's possible that certain lubes don't work for you, but I would say it's almost certainly ejaculate. And so you can decide there what to do. I would definitely go to your GP to find out what it is, because there's also other things that it could be. It could be to do with antibiotics. It could be all sorts of things, you know, clothing that you're wearing. But I would say absolutely start by maybe switching to condoms, or if you use a certain sort of lube, maybe try a different lube, and have him not ejaculate inside you for a while and see what happens there, if that makes it better. Might also be simply that there's the sex that you have is quite vigorous and you might simply need more lube. That might be that too.
We've got to end on the lube. Rachel Cook, thank you so much for joining us again today. And Rachel will be back next week. She can answer any question you have. Rachel Cook, psychotherapist and mental health consultant. You can follow Rachel on Instagram, Rachel Jane Cook with an E on the end. And if you have any questions, you can always email me, jen@rte.ie.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.